How cool would it be if once a month at your doorstep was a box, and inside that box was about two or three high quality dog toys and about two or three high quality dog treats? Well, that can actually be a reality when you subscribe to BarkBox. And when you order through BarkBox.com/GreyhoundNJ, they will donate $25 to Greyhound Friends of New Jersey. Again, it's www.barkbox.com/GreyhoundNJ. And they will donate $25 to Greyhound Friends of New Jersey, whether you get a 1 month subscription, which would be one box, or a 12 month subscription, which would be one box a month for a year. Check it out. Hello, and welcome to About Greyhounds, the podcast about greyhounds. I'm Jacqueline Howard of Greyhound Friends of New Jersey.
And hi, I'm Al Cavallo, also Greyhound Friends of New Jersey.
Al is one of my favorite people. Well, probably my favorite person. Because if you've missed past episodes, what's so funny? You may not know that Al and I are married. He's still laughing. Okay. So, of course, being from Greyhound Friends of New Jersey, we are located in the Northeast, specifically New Jersey. And on June 21st, summer officially begins. The way I handle the heat in the summer, the same way as greyhounds. I don't. I have asthma, and the heat and humidity trigger it. As a matter of fact, on the day we're recording this episode, it is 94 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about 34 degrees Celsius. The humidity is expected to hit 86% today. Pea soup. And if you've been listening to this podcast, you may hear it in my voice. I am really having a hard time breathing. And I was only outside about, what do you think, Al, 5 minutes today?
And about 5 minutes total, yeah.
Yeah, and our house is air-conditioned. But still, I'm having a hard time, even with all my meds and being in the air conditioning. Which brings us to the topic of today's episode. It is about safety for your greyhound in the summer.
To start off with, you know, greyhounds, most people refer to them as, you know, the house dogs, inside dogs. They're not the type of dog that you kind of leave out in your yard for long periods of time, out on a lead, out in the run, or anything like that. And you also don't want to take them for long walks or outdoor events in this type of heat. You know, greyhounds, because of their lack of fat and having so little hair, I guess they don't have the insulation that many other dog breeds have to kind of handle the heat. I guess ideally, you usually need to begin controlled temperatures between 68 and 72 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 20 to 22 degrees Celsius.
That is correct.
Instant math.
Instant math. So let me repeat what you said, Al. First and foremost, when it comes to greyhounds and heat, they do not mix. Again, they're just like me. Yes, take them for their walks, but you really need to limit the amount of time they're outside to the absolute minimum.
Yeah, unlike other dogs, they really can't stay out too long in the heat. So they easily overheat, which can lead to things like heat stroke. They can even sunburn. They become dehydrated. They can have trouble breathing.
Yeah, just like me. Maybe I was a greyhound in a past life. Al, you mentioned heat stroke, so let's talk about that for a moment. Heat stroke happens when normal body mechanisms just cannot keep the body's temperature in a safe range. Animals do not have efficient cooling systems like humans. We sweat. And they get overheated quite easily. A dog with moderate heat stroke, well, his or her temperature goes up to about 104 to 106 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about 40 to 41 Celsius. These dogs can recover within an hour if given prompt first aid and veterinary care. I'm stressing veterinary care. Severe heat stroke happens when the dog's body temperature goes over 106 degrees. It can be fatal, and immediate veterinary assistance can be needed. Al, How do you know when heat stroke is happening, aside from taking the dog's temperature?
There are a few things, actually quite a few things, starting off with things like rapid panting, bright red tongue, paler red gums, thick, sticky saliva, depression, weakness, dizziness, vomiting, sometimes with blood, diarrhea, shock, and even coma.
So what do I do, Al, if I see a few of these signs, maybe more, in my dog, and I think the dog has heat stroke?
Is some of the first things you can do, you can wet the dog with cool water, not cold water. Using very cold water ends up being counterproductive. Cooling too quickly and allowing the body temperature to become too low actually then causes other life-threatening medical conditions.
Okay, got it. So first, wet the dog with cool, not cold water, like you said. I would then fan the dog to circulate air around the dog. I would check the dog's rectal temperature every 5 minutes. I really want to get it down to about 103 Fahrenheit or 39 Celsius. And at that point, when the temperature is where I want it to be, I would dry and cover the dog so that now the dog isn't losing too much heat.
Right, and I guess even if you think your dog is recovered, safest thing to do, take him or her to the vet immediately. Because there could be other things that medical action, you know, they could take care of at the vet if needed.
Right, and we can't stress that enough, that really a dog who has suffered from a heat stroke, whether or not you think they've recovered or not, take them to the vet. Okay, let's talk about hot cars. This is one that actually gets me kind of angry.
Get you hot?
It gets me hot. That's right, Al. Every summer, the warnings go out ad nauseum, but you still see or hear of dogs left in hot cars.
Right, and there's an independent study that showed that interior temperatures of vehicles parked outside, say temperatures 72 to 96, which with my instant math, 22 to 35 Celsius.
Look at that. You're amazing in the way you do this conversion.
It rose steadily as time increased. And then there's also other studies, like there's one from Louisiana Office of Public Health found that the temperatures in a dark sedan, as well as even like light gray, where people think, oh, well, it's a black car, it's going to be hotter, or a lighter car, it's going to be cooler. If that light gray minivan, whatever, is parked in the hot but partly cloudy day, can exceed 125 degrees Fahrenheit, and with my instant math, 56 degrees Celsius within 20 minutes.
You hear these stupid, and yes, I said stupid, excuses all the time. Oh, it'll just be a few minutes while I go in the store, or, but I crack the windows. With all the education and messages about dogs and hot cars out there, there is no reason to claim ignorance if your pet becomes seriously ill or dies from being left in a vehicle. Simply stated, just don't do it. Ever. Okay, so temper tantrum done. Al, you mentioned sunburn. Can greyhounds really get sunburn?
Yes, they can. And there's other dog breeds that can also be at risk, more so than others, including lighter colored dogs, dogs with short hair like the greyhounds. They get sunburned anywhere they're pink, like they're smooth baby bottom bellies, like on the greyhound, around their noses, ears, even the pads of their paws can be susceptible to sunburn.
Dogs are at risk for getting certain types of skin cancer from prolonged exposure to the sun or extreme sunburn, as well as things like skin ulcerations and autoimmune skin conditions. Al, how can we prevent sunburn in our greyhounds?
Well, I guess we just go back to the basics of greyhounds. Remember, they're primarily, you know, the house dog, the indoor dog. You know, of course, you want outdoor play and potty breaks and things like that to go out and do their business.
Sure. I mean, those things are really necessary. I mean, the dog wants to go out and play. And, of course, you have to take the dog for a walk.
Yeah, definitely. But the tips to prevent that, you know, you keep them inside during peak hours, with 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., just as if you're going out to the beach. You know, those are the peak hours for the sun. If your greyhound has very light, thin, balding patches, Another thing you can do is put on like a white t-shirt, kind of.
On the dog?
Yep, on the dog.
Okay.
Put it on just like a t-shirt, do a little knot around the belly.
Sure.
And that should give them a little bit of protection.
Okay.
You can even put sunscreen on that's made specifically for dogs, which I think, was it, SPFs of what, at least 15?
It's at least 15. And you don't necessarily have to do a sunscreen that's specific to dogs. Even sunscreen that's specific for people babies, like human babies, or sensitive skin sunscreen.
Right. And then... that also goes, speaking of babies, baby pools are also good. And like, as we've found out, like through doing the picnics and things like that, baby pools are one of the favorite spots, the pool hangout for the dogs. You might find your dog will either, splash around, just flat out lay in it. Stand in it.
Stand in it. Treat it like a giant drinking bowl.
That too.
Or not go in it at all. We bought a baby pool for our dogs quite some time ago, and yeah, that didn't go over well. They didn't care about it.
Did we donate the baby pool?
We donated the baby pool. Yeah, and then we donated a few to Greyhound Friends in New Jersey, like you said, to use at the picnics, or more specifically, our fall picnic at the kennel where we have access to water with the dog, and a lot of dogs, like, they just like to go lay in it. I do want to mention one more thing about sunscreen. Make sure the label indicates that the sunscreen is non-toxic, whether it's called sunscreen for dogs or sunscreen for babies or sunscreen for sensitive skin. Essentially, they really all have the same thing, but you want to go for one that is non-toxic, because you don't want anything toxic and topical like seeping into your dog's bloodstream, and you don't want them licking it.
It's not just ingestion, it's also when it's on the skin.
Right, sure, it can still get through into the bloodstream. I also want to note with sunburn that dogs don't sunburn exactly the way people do. You can tell if your greyhound is sunburned by the look of your dog's skin. If it looks like leather or turns white, then the dog probably has sunburn. And if that's the case, take your dog to the vet right away if you suspect that they're sunburned, especially if the skin is broken or if your dog appears to be in any pain. Typically, what's going to happen is the vet will shave some fur from the affected area and will apply a topical treatment. And in more severe cases, your dog may need to stay overnight. I'm going to move on to another issue, which isn't exclusive to the summer, but certainly explodes during hotter weather. It's parasites and some other diseases. If not protected, your dog could be at risk for things like heartworm, Lyme disease, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and really a host of other nasty and dangerous conditions. And don't forget, many of these diseases can be caught by people too. So be sure to treat your dog by going to your vet and getting preventative medicines. Talk to your vet about other parasites that may be active in your specific area and how you can protect your dogs from them. Okay, we've talked about hot cars, sunburn, parasites, and some diseases often found more in the summertime. Let's talk about hot pavements. Most people are wearing shoes when walking about in the summer, so they don't even think about how hot the pavement can get in the summertime. When the sun is cooking, surfaces like asphalt or metal can get incredibly hot. So try to keep your pet off hot asphalt. Not only can it burn paws, but it can also increase body temperature, which can lead to overheating, which can lead to heat stroke.
Which I get, one thing to mention is almost like, is it, which episode was it where we mentioned if your dog is cold, was that like the intro one?
Yeah.
If you're cold and
if you're cold, they're your cold. Dog's cold.
If you're warm, they're warm. In this case, if you were walking on hot pavement without your shoes on and your feet burn, their feet are going to burn.
Right. It's not like they have magic feet. The arm burned by hot pavement, even hot sand. I know, being on the coast of the Atlantic Ocean, and I am a true ocean lover. I would live on the beach if I possibly could. if you don't protect your feet when walking on hot sand, you will have severe burns by the time you get from the boardwalk down to the actual ocean. So the same with dogs, like on hot sand, like it will severely burn them. So like you said, Al, if you can walk on it without being burned, they can't walk on it. And I know I'm kind of harping on this point, but I just want to get it across. Because again, like we as people, we're wearing shoes most of the time, so we're not thinking about how hot the asphalt is.
They have pads on their feet, but it's not like wearing a shoe. It's not truly protected.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, consider, you know, like when the air temperature's that high, is like 77 degrees, 22 Celsius, like pavement and asphalt in the sun can be, you know, you go up to like 125, 52 degrees Celsius. And then when that air temperature goes up to 86, it can, that same pavement can sizzle your skin and your pet's paws. It's like 135 degrees Fahrenheit, 57 degrees Celsius. And that can even jump up to like 143 Fahrenheit, 62 degrees Celsius.
Okay, so you're giving me the numbers, but just how hot is that?
That's hot enough, like the old, where they go into like the junkyard and cook eggs on cars. That's enough to fry an egg in 5 minutes.
Wow, so that's pretty, pretty hot. Something we don't want our dogs walking on with bare feet.
Right. Probably another analogy. If there's any baseball fans out there, they'll usually have like a temperature, like a little thermometer down at field level. Think of it that way. You know, like you're sitting up in the stands, you're probably pretty comfortable, you're in the shade, but down at the field level, it could be scorching and that's on like AstroTurf, on regular grass. I mean, it could get hot in some areas.
Sure.
Along like those lines with like hot pavement, probably also never a good idea to drive around with your Greyhound, say like in the bed of a truck. And in the summer, that metal or even like the liners, they can, you know, they can burn their paws quickly on that hot surface as well. Plus, if they're just, you know, not secured in that area as well, even no matter how short the trip is type of thing, you know, they could, you know, fall out, get injured and stuff.
Yeah. Bottom line, if you have a pickup truck or any other kind of truck that has a bed, never, ever, I don't care if it's hot, cold, the most perfect weather, never, ever drive around with a dog, let alone a Greyhound, in the back of your truck. It is so unsafe. It's not even funny. Like, if I saw that, I would...
And for people, too.
And for people, too. And it's against the law. I don't know about other states, but in New Jersey, it is certainly against the law for people to be riding in the bed of a truck. If it's not, it should be against the law for a dog to be in the back of a truck. Al, what kind of advice do we have for people who are walking their Greyhounds in the summer, especially folks in cities? Many of our adopters are in New York City and Philadelphia, and even for people in the suburbs or more rural areas, look, they have to walk their dogs. So how would they walk their dogs in the summer without getting the paws burned?
For the most part, you could probably stay in like grassy surfaces, avoid the bare ground when that's exposed to the summer heat. You can avoid the hottest parts of the day, like we mentioned before, the 10 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also maybe invest in a pair of booties to keep the heat from burning your paws. We tried it for the cold. Our first Greyhound did not care for the booties.
Well, those were snow booties.
But those snow booties, but you can get the summer ones just to give a little bit of protection.
Let's talk about people who are the complete opposite of me, Al. Those are people who love and thrive in the summer heat. They like to keep their windows open. So if you have a dog, especially a Greyhound, be sure those windows, while opened, are still impossible for your dogs to jump out of.
Right, yeah. You don't want the window completely down. And in our case, if we, in our Greyhound vehicle, if we had the windows open, they're in the section that's with the dog barrier, the divider, and that keeps them safe and they can still get the fresh air if I wanted the windows open.
Right. I think we're talking about two different things now. Right. You're talking about cars, so you just made good points. Oh. But I mean in the home, there's people...
Son of a...
So there's... It's a family show, Al. Do you want your children hearing this? So, in the home, there are people who, like I said, in the summer, love to open those windows. They love the heat. Oh, let it come in. They just love it. Me? No freaking way. But they love it. So, how do you keep a greyhound from jumping out the window? Because that greyhound, again, he's looking outside, and oh my gosh, there's a squirrel. May jump out the window.
Very well could. Especially with, like, in our, like, I know most people have, like, a double hung window, but we have a weird windows that go from side to side. If it's a normal, you pull up and you open up the window. Our windows don't do that. They go from left to right, right to left.
Yeah, like so, our windows. They're like sliding glass doors.
Mini sliding glass doors. And the opening is huge. So we've, even with the cats, the big windows, and it's just a screen. So, yeah, they could easily just jump right out if they wanted to.
But we don't open our windows because I hate the heat.
So, they're going to shut. But if you did want to open the windows, one, we wouldn't open that much. And if we did, there are things that you could put in the windows to help. Almost like with the car thing. It's a divider that could...
Yeah, I know before Al and I were married, I lived in an apartment. And I was on the... I think it was the third floor.
Yes.
It was pretty high. It was like, it was an apartment in a home. So, and I actually, I shouldn't say we never open our windows, because in the winter, I do open the windows because I really like the cold. But at the time, I didn't have a greyhound, but I did have cats and still do. But I was afraid to open my third story window because I was afraid of the cats jumping out. So what I did is I went to a hardware store and I found these metal screens. I can't remember what kind of metal it was, but they were like metal.
They were metal screens.
Yeah, metal screens.
It was heavier than it's not like a regular screen with a mesh, but it was something that's...
Solid, like solid, not solid, flexible
yeah,
at
not
all.
Not flexible, yeah.
And, you know, I got them, just so happens the ones I found were the width of the two windows that I had in my bedroom. So I screwed them onto the windows, and I got permission from my landlord to do that. And this way I could have my windows open, and my cats, there was no way that they were going to get out. Right. But they could still see out. I mean, the holes weren't so small that you couldn't see outside. The cats could see outside, but there was no way they were going to... lean on the screen, because that was my worry. Yeah. You know, they were flimsy screens
would just pop out.
Sitting on the screen, leaning on it, and then boom, my cat falls out the window.
We see it on the sliding glass door, the fosters coming by with their muzzles and rubbing on the sliding glass door, and the mesh
is pushing in
the mesh, running into the mesh.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about swimming and greyhounds. I know there's a lot of people with pools, or their friends have pools, or family has pools, and they'd like to bring their greyhounds over to those places and let the greyhounds swim in the pools. What can we tell folks about swimming and greyhounds?
I guess you'd probably start off with don't assume your greyhound is a natural swimmer.
Well, right. That's a good thing to start with. Yeah.
I guess many, you know, can figure it out quickly. Some don't.
Yeah, like some greyhounds, if they can't figure out how to swim. Remember, if you're putting them in the pool and it's the first time you're doing it, most likely this is the first time they've ever seen a pool, let alone gone into water that was over their heads. And they'll sink. They'll sink. Go ahead, Al.
So, yeah, if you're letting your dog in the swimming pool for the first time, they make the dog swim vests.
Yep.
And a few of my friends have the vest for smaller dogs, but you're going to need one to fit the chest area.
You're going to need a bigger vest.
You're going to need a bigger vest. That is just make sure it's well fitted and that it's made, you know, to fit, like I said, the size of the chest of the greyhound. Because if it turns out he or she can't swim, you want to take that you might want to take it off, but I guess it's still, you know, always under close supervision, almost like a child. Like,
sure,
you know, you want to always be under super. You're not going to just leave them in the water. The greyhound, they're just big, heavy dogs, and say they, you know, panic, go into distress, whatever, and they were starting to sink. You know, you also have to then realize and be realistic. Are you going to be able to pull this dog out of the water? You're not talking about a 22-pound terrier or whatever. You're talking about an 85-pound, up, you know, 85-pound
dog. Well, in our
dog.
Case,
you're
going to
be pulling a person out. You're going to be pulling a medium-sized child out of the water. Can you?
Well, 85, but you could be pulling a 60 pounds 60, of dead weight out of the water, up to like 85, 90, sometimes more pounds out of the water. Yeah. If you're not strong enough to pull up, I hate to use the term, but that dead weight from the bottom of a pool, keep the vest on the dog.
Yeah, just as if you're on a boat. When you're on a boat, always wear your vest, same thing.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of our adopters, because, you know, again, in New Jersey, we are a coastal state, so we have beautiful access to the Atlantic Ocean. We also have some beautiful lakes in the state, actually a lot of them. And boating is a very popular thing in New Jersey. And a lot of people will take their dogs, including greyhounds, out on their boats, which most of the dogs love. But they also keep vests, swim vests made specifically and fitted to their dogs. Because if your dog goes into the ocean, goes into a lake, river, whatever it is, that could be very precarious and scary, may not end well. So, err on the side of safety. Swim vests aren't foolproof, of course, but it's a layer of protection. A word about swimming in oceans or lakes or other bodies of water, especially if you're a Greyhound Friends of New Jersey adopter. Your adoption contract, which you signed and agreed to, specifically prohibits letting your greyhound off leash in a non-fenced-in area. So please, don't risk letting your dog off leash, or even on leash for that matter, in such bodies of water. Leashing in water can also be dangerous. It's not worth it unless you have found a beach and the water that goes with it that are singly contained. Great. I don't know if that exists. Maybe it does. But please don't let your greyhound off leash, especially at a beach, because there are all kinds of things for your greyhound to hone in on and to become keen on. Like seagulls, whether you're at the Atlantic Ocean beach or you're at a mountain lake, it doesn't matter. Seagulls are there and all kinds of other things. So do not let your greyhound off leash unless in a contained area.
And letting your dog off leash in a non-contained, fenced-in area, definitely not good. But when playing outdoors in the self-contained, fenced-in area, summer is something that, many greyhounds, just, they love it. Just make sure you do it, limited time frames, just keep an eye on, so they don't overheat, or just keep an eye on the sunburn,
If you're getting sunburn,
they're getting sunburn. And then, going back to the baby pools, many of them do love it, put it in a shaded area and, maybe sprinklers, hoses, that will keep them a bit cool too. So
yeah, and while our dogs, like, they really could not be more unexcited about the baby pool that we bought for them. I remember we were so excited and they just looked at it and walked away. Yeah. They went and stood by the door so we'd let them inside. They do like sprinklers, or at least one of them. The sprinkler out there for the kids, they'll stand just right over it. He tries to catch the sprinkles.
Yeah,
so, it all depends on the dog. But they do love to play outside. There's nothing wrong with that. When it comes to your greyhound in summer, have fun, but use common sense. Remember, because they have extremely low body fat and have only one layer of fur, anything over 80 Fahrenheit or 27 Celsius is generally too much for them for more than about 10 or 20 minutes. Now, are all of them like that? Certainly not, but most of them are. Keep them in shade as much as possible, and remember, these dogs are couch potatoes. That's why many people adopt them specifically for that couch potato aspects of the breed. Many truly prefer snoozing in air conditioning, just like me. I'm with the Greyhounds on this. For Greyhound Friends of New Jersey and the About Greyhounds podcast, this is Jacqueline Howard.
And Al Cavallo.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to listen in next week when we speak with Patty Comerford, who will talk to us about a related topic, fireworks and thunderstorms and your Greyhounds. Thanks for listening to this episode of About Greyhounds. I do hope that you enjoyed it. At Greyhound Friends of New Jersey, we are dedicated to bringing as many Greyhounds as possible, from retiring from their career to homes where they're going to be loved and well taken care of. Of course, all of this takes time, a lot of volunteers, and money, always money. If you've been enjoying this podcast series, please consider making a donation to Greyhound Friends of New Jersey so we can continue this work. You can do so at gfnj.org. Again, that's gfnj.org, and clicking on the donate button. In the United States, your donation is tax deductible, as we are a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Thanks.